Amazing. Thank you so much. My name is Amy B. I am a very grateful compulsive overeater living in a recovered state for today, one day at a time. I want to thank, first of all, everyone doing service at this meeting. I want to thank Ziva for giving me an opportunity to carry the message today, and every single person who is giving service. And by the way, that includes the act of service by being here at this meeting. This is a we program, the fellowship and our community and hearing each other's stories is so critical to how our program works. So thank you for the service of being here, everyone. Okay, so 20 minutes. This is a big book meeting, and I want to start out by saying, and I know this is being recorded, but for those who are in the room right now, I want to acknowledge that I am not where I would like to be for carrying the message. I take this service very, very seriously. I had an unplanned timing situation that has me not at home with my big book in front of me. That being said, the big book is always in my heart. The steps are always with me. And keeping my service commitments is incredibly important. So when I realized that I was not going to be able to be where I would have preferred to be, I pulled over in time to sit quietly, to have a moment to connect with higher power, to think about why I feel so grateful for an opportunity to carry the message today. So, yeah, that's the energy that I'm bringing here. I want to qualify. I'm going to try and do it pretty quickly because I want to talk about the program, how that works for me, one day at a time. I have had a disordered relationship with food and food behaviors for my entire life, for as long as I can remember. Prior to coming into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous, I had gained and lost over 100 pounds multiple times. Every time not believing that I had to do it again. And as a matter of fact, I was seeing a new therapist, and I was there because my life was unmanageable. I wasn't there because of my overeating. I was in a therapist's office because I could not manage my life. And at the very end of the session, I mentioned, like, as an aside, like, oh, by the way, and I'm over 300 pounds sitting on her couch. And I said, oh, by the way, I've gained and lost over 100 pounds multiple times already. And I can't believe I have to do it again. I can't believe I have to do it again. And she said, oh, you need OA. And I, for a moment, felt those like those words were jarring. And I was also exhausted and I was out of ideas. Clearly, knowing how to lose weight was not my problem. I had done it so many times before. It was bigger than that, and I hadn't found anything that was a solution that could work one day at a time through designed, for rough times, for rough living, like anything works during good times, that's not. Anyway, I was exhausted and I was out of ideas. And so when she said I needed OA, my exact words back to her were, look, I'm desperate and I will try anything, but I'll tell you right now, I'm going to have a problem with the God thing. And she said, all right, well, that's maybe you will, maybe you won't, give it a try. And it took me about a month to go to my first meeting. And my first meeting was on May 1st, 2018, which is 8 years, 2 months, and 25. days ago. And I went to a meeting that was about a 6 minute drive from my house. And it was in a building that was of a religion that was not of my upbringing, although I will be honest with you, it could have been the one of my upbringing and I would have felt no more comfortable. I just didn't like any of that. And I walked in and I sat down in the back row with my sweatshirt hood pulled over my head. And the person who was speaking, it was a speaker meeting, the person who was speaking, their relationship with food and food behaviors didn't look like mine. Their upbringing didn't look like mine. Their spirituality didn't look like mine. And I sat there and I was like, even here, I don't belong. And I tried to leave when the meeting was over, like quietly. And a woman in the meeting sort of saw me headed for the door. And she reached out and she touched my arm and she said, "Hey, let me get you a newcomer packet." And I was like, "Okay," because I didn't want to be rude. So I stood there and they couldn't find a newcomer packet. And I'm inching towards the door like I am. And she touches my arm again and she said, "Listen, why don't you just take my number and I'll take yours? And then if you have any questions, you can call me." And I would have cut off my arm to get out of the room at that moment. So I took her number and I gave her mine and I ran for the door and there were tears on my cheeks before I got to my car and I drove the 6 minutes home and I had what turned out to be the last time I looked to food to solve my problems. And it wasn't, I gotta tell you, I've had plenty of farewell tours in my time. I'm gonna have this. It's gonna be great. I'm gonna have it one last time. This was the worst farewell tour in the history of farewell tours. It was like my kids' frozen stuff in a microwave. Like it was not even because, even when it came to that, I was exhausted. And I went to sleep feeling very, very sad. And then, in retrospect, I had some unconscious contact, I guess, with a power greater than myself. Because the next morning, on awakening, the thought that was in my brain was, "That woman was so nice to me last night." And I picked up my phone and I texted her, "Thank you for being so nice to me last night," with no intention of ever going back to a meeting. And she texted me words that save my life. And I use the present tense because they continue to save my life one day at a time, all these years later. What she said was, "Not every meeting is for every person. There are a lot of people with a lot of experiences in these rooms. Why don't you try another meeting? And maybe you'll see." And she suggested one to me that evening that was a 40-minute drive from my house. And I was like, "There's no way." I will tell you, however, I ate in a sane and sober way that day. And I went to that meeting that night and I got a sponsor and I started working a program, and that is the first day of my current abstinence because I have not hurt myself with food or food behaviors since that day. My eating plan has evolved and changed. My knowledge of the steps and practicing these principles and all my affairs has grown and changed, but I have not hurt myself with food or food behaviors. I also had a very clear idea, like very clear idea around what my alcoholic foods are. They're not too, it's not rocket science. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all the usuals. And I feel so much better, truly, with bold, clear lines separating me from all of that. And I know I'm jumping around a little bit here, but one of the things that I've learned from people in the rooms, listening to other people's experiences with this program, somebody once described being sober in OA as being abstinent and joyously, peacefully so, gratefully so. And I honestly, I was on a camping trip this weekend with family that we've been going on for years and years and years. And that I will tell you the items that were brought and shared on those table. And I was like, oh, that looks amazing. Everybody, like, I had no problem. No, I could go, as it says in the big book, I can go anywhere. I can go anywhere and peacefully be grateful that I am free from those things. I think about a line from The Doctor's Opinion, which says, the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. They use the word relief. They don't say solution. They don't say answer. They don't say program. They say the only relief is in entire abstinence. And that has been my experience. Entire abstinence has not been a punishment or a prison or pain. It has been a relief. And in the 8 years, June, July, 2 months, 24 days that I have been not hurting myself with food and food behaviors, there's been a lot of life. There has been a lot of life that has happened. There have been a lot of challenges and opportunities for growth. And I have worked the steps in so many different ways. I didn't like the big book when I came into the rooms, by the way. I didn't like the big book. I didn't like the word God. I didn't like a higher power. I didn't like any of those things. And what I have found is this program, and again, the opinions of the speaker may not reflect the opinions of the other, whatever. And we're a vast and varied fellowship. And if you don't agree, that's awesome. Go listen to other people. That being said, I believe that the big book and the steps and the experience of recovery is meant to be personalized, truly personalized, so that my understanding of relief and a higher power and inventory and conscious contact and unconscious contact with a power greater than my self, and I like to separate those words, a power greater than my self-interest, self-focus, self-hatred, self-grandeur, self-doubts, a power that's greater than all of those things. Can be personal to me and can continue to grow as I grow and as my life grows. I'm looking at the time and I want to share things that I hope will be helpful. So I want to talk about the other thing that I had a problem with when I came into the rooms. I had a problem with the God thing that became not a problem very, very quickly. Once I understood, as it explains on page 12 in Bill's story, that I can choose my own conception of a power greater than myself. So that quickly was untangled for me. The other thing I had a problem with was the word defects. The idea of being defective, of being broken, did not feel like something that I was taking it personally in the wrong ways, I suppose, at a moment where I really needed to love myself more, not for to look for the ways that I was defective. And here's what happened. Here's how powers greater than myself bend over backwards to get me exactly what I need. And by the way, need, when we talk about step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over the care of a power greater than ourselves. The word care is defined as the provision of what is needed. And so many times, like, I am way past need. What I get is exactly what I need. It might not be
Okay.
what I
This is
want.
just your 5-minute reminder.
Thank you. It might not be what I want. It might not be what I like, but I don't need acceptance for the things that I want and like. Right. So anyway, defects, right? So this is how my higher power bends over backwards to give me what ex exactly what I need, exactly what I need through working with others, a very like enthusiastic sponsee when we got to step six was defining like dictionary definitions of her top like six defects that she had found during her inventory defects. And at the top of the page, she also defined the word defect. So she wrote, defect, noun, a shortcoming, an imperfection, or a lack. And that's the one that made me feel a certain kind of way. And then underneath that, she wrote, verb, defect, to abandon one's home country or cause for an opposing one. To abandon my home cause, love, divine love, higher power, understanding, acceptance, to abandon that in pursuit of an opposing one, fear, resentment. I'm not defective. I'm defecting. I'm running away from home. No wonder I feel so lost. That understanding, that like idea that like I don't need to land anywhere. Like I don't need, this doesn't end. The point is I'm a seeker now. The point is I am looking for a better direction. My higher power is the compass, the direction that I want to head in, as opposed to the opposing one. And like, am I ever going to do it perfectly? No. Thank God for that relief of knowing that I am a human being and I have the opportunity to learn and grow and just keep heading in the right direction. The big book says after the 12 steps, right after the 12 steps, where it says, you know, that's too much. I couldn't possibly. And then the very first instruction that we're given after the 12 steps is don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Not one of us has done anything like perfect adherence to these steps. We are not saints. And for a long time, I thought that was the point. We're not saints. I'm not supposed to be a saint. But it continues. We are not saints. The point is, we are willing to move in a better direction. I'm paraphrasing a little bit because, again, the big book isn't right in front of me, but it's in my heart. We are not saints, but that's not the point. The point is, we are willing to pursue spiritual growth. And I have to say that 12th step, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message and practice these principles in all our affairs. And what I was thinking today while I was taking my quiet moment before this was how practice these principles, yes, refers to all the steps in living this way. What about just the first part of step 12, the principle of carrying the message? Because I'm always carrying a message. No matter what I'm doing, I'm carrying one message or another. What message am I carrying as I move through life as a human being? Who's just looking, who feels a little lost sometimes still, because I have an allergy of the body and a mental twist. My thoughts get twisted, and that spiritual gap that means that I get lost, and I need to remind myself to be a seeker and look for direction, in a way that is personal to me and keeps growing and changing as I do. 34, 33, 32. Thank you for an opportunity for letting me do service today. I am so grateful to be here. With that, I pass.